collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
To the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
One last go-round for the Northwestern Wildcats in this 2024 season. Things haven't gone as well as those within the program had hoped, but they've got one more shot, and that is Saturday at Wrigley Field against their in-state rivals, the Fighting Illini, in the battle for the Land of Lincoln Trophy. Dave Enning, former Wildcat quarterback Dan Persa, as we get you set for this Thanksgiving weekend, rivalry weekend in college football. And Dan, certainly a tough day against Michigan last week. And I'll be honest with you, 50-6 loss to the Wolverines. I didn't see that coming. I really thought that this team would maybe get out of Ann Arbor with a win, but certainly it was going to be a close game in the fourth quarter. And it didn't happen for them on Saturday. Right from the start, things didn't go well. They kind of fought to get themselves back in it, cut it to 4 points, and then it just seemed like that one possession at the end of the half, which has been sort of a bugaboo for this team, kind of took the wind out of their sails, and Michigan blew them away in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, you know, whether it's offense or defense, Northwestern's really struggled making, you know, not getting stops or just making a lot of mistakes, you know, at the end of critical moments, especially when the team they're playing gets the ball out of half. But yeah, to your point, I was very shocked that this game wasn't closer. You know, I thought they had every opportunity to be right in it, especially in the first half after some pretty big mistakes by Jack and some others. But yeah, I mean, I think it was just disappointing with the lack of energy in the second half. And like you said, it was just kind of a rout from there. Didn't expect it, but hopefully the team can bounce back and get a much-needed win to build momentum into the offseason against Illinois.
Yeah, everybody talks about how important that last game is, whether or not it's in a bowl game, even if it's a regular season game. But that last game is the one that stays with you. And there is something to that, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, I think you want to build momentum into the off season. I think guys want to have good taste in their mouth going into off season workouts and into another tough year, which is going to be next year. So yeah, I mean, I think it's very important for a lot of guys that kind of find themselves on the position bubble. You know, if you don't make a bowl game, pretty much every position is open for competition. But I think it's important for guys like Jack Lausch and some others to cement themselves as the leaders and the starters in their position. And have great games going into the offseason. Illinois is a good team, but again, I think they're a very beatable team, just like I thought with Michigan. So hopefully, you know, Northwestern comes out with the right attitude, the right intensity, and gets a much-needed win going into the offseason.
We're going to visit with one of the Wildcats seniors, Coco Azuma, here in just a moment. Senior day has changed, certainly in this new era in college athletics, where sometimes guys are honored on senior day just as a provisional, basically, just in case they don't come back or they still get to go through the senior day ceremonies. And sometimes guys go through it more than once. We've seen that happen on a pretty regular basis. So Northwestern will honor their seniors before the game on Saturday at Wrigley Field. We don't know whether some of those guys who have eligibility remaining might be back next year, might go play someplace else. You never really know, but it's still kind of one of those nice traditions where you thank the players who've been part of your program for 4 or 5 years, some cases 6 years, and also their families, because the families sacrifice an awful lot to get those guys there.
Yeah, like you said, it's well-deserved recognition, and bringing some family members out in the field is a really special moment for all the players. But yeah, to your point, I mean, I think it's just such a unique situation now with the COVID year that, you know, still is hanging out there, and then the potential for transfers and guys that you're being honored as seniors that have only been with the program for a year or two, or guys that are on the different things the next year. So, you know, while it is, you know, a great tradition and rite of passage, it's much different than it was when I was playing.
Who are some of the guys that have stood out to you this season among the younger guys who you would expect to be back here with this team next year. I mean, I'll give you one who's been an absolute, well, two really, and they're both in the secondary. We're going to talk to Coco Osmo, but Josh Fussell and also Damon Walters, the redshirt freshman. I think those guys have really, really stood out on this team. What names pop to mind for you?
Definitely those two. I think Robert Fitzgerald, I don't think he's that young, but he's certainly, you know, this is his first year getting extended playing time,
right.
That I thought was really impressive. You know, Komolafe on offense, I know he's battled some injuries, but I think, you know, he's got a pretty bright future on the offensive side. And then, yeah, I think Jack Lausch has been up and down, but he certainly had some bright spots. So, yeah, I mean, looking forward to the future. I think the two guys that you mentioned have very bright futures. I'm interested to see on the offensive side of the ball, specifically with skill positions, who kind of emerges. I'm wondering if Coach Brett, while they have AJ and Bryce, obviously very veteran guys there, if there's any other younger receivers that start to play a little bit more to see what they can do, you know, going into next year.
I think Frank Covey probably would have played quite a bit more, but he's had to battle some injuries and has missed the last few games. Calvin Johnson this year has gotten a lot of playing time, is that third wide receiver following the departure of Cam Johnson. But they've got some big holes to fill in that receiving core going into next year with AJ departing and certainly Bryce Kurtz, who has just been outstanding, and they missed him for those two games that he was out, and he's come back and made an immediate impact on this offense against Ohio State and Michigan. I mean, the catch he made on Saturday against Michigan was one of the best you'll see, and we've seen him do that on a pretty regular basis. So there's some big shoes to fill in that receiving core. You mentioned Komolafe, and I would also mention Joe Hyman is back next year too,
yeah.
and he'll have a couple years under his belt. On the offensive line, you've got some young guys who've gotten some reps this year. You've got Oritaki, who's started the last couple of games at left guard. Anthony Bierce has been in there. Jackson Carcello has gone most of the year starting at center due to injury. So this line has some guys coming back next year with some experience and some others I haven't mentioned. But they're also losing their two top tight ends next year. Thomas Gordon, who's had been a big contributor offensively for them throughout the course of the year and the past few years. So a lot of holes to fill in this team, but that's the nature of college athletics these days.
I was going to say that's the business now, right?
Right.
It's filling holes, whether with development or portal and NIL. I think Northwestern always, you know, wanted to fill a lot of these holes naturally and through you know, development of the younger guys. That I just don't know if they have that talent right now. So, you know, our friend Jacob Schmidt should be pretty busy in the offseason filling some of these holes, and interested to see who enters the portal, what kind of new faces you get in Evanston. But it's certainly a tall task.
Well, let's visit with one of the seniors playing his final game this week. Now joining us on Collegiately Speaking, number 0 of the Wildcats, co-captain, wrapping up his Wildcat career. It's Coco Osmo. Coco, Dave Ennett, Dan Percy here. Thank you for taking some time with us. Hope the Thanksgiving holiday is good for you. And I just want to turn the clock back, first of all, because I think you really kind of burst onto the scene for Wildcat fans on November 30th, 2019. And now you're going to be at Wrigley Field on November 30th, 2024. But on that day in 2019, partly out of necessity, you moved over to the offensive side of the ball to play running back. And all you did in that game of Champaign, 123 yards, a touchdown. You had a 62-yard run. And you had a 24-yard touchdown run on just 7 carries. What do you remember about that game and how it came about that you went over and played running back?
That game was insane. Leading up to that week, the week before, I think we played UMass, and I was supposed to be in a game plan for safety. But like that Tuesday, Coach Fitz comes up to me and was like, "Hey, we need a running back next week." And I was like, I thought he was joking. So I was like, "All right, if you want to score some touchdowns, you'll put me back there." And I kind of like ran off to the safety line. And he's just standing in the middle of the field. He's like, "I was serious." I was like, "Oh." So like, they're like, for like 3 days, I did a scout team running back just to get my, you know, my bearings back, playing running back, making moves and everything like that. And then, yeah, I mean, I went over to Coach Ianni. I didn't get the calls from the regular offensive play caller. Coach Ianni had taught me like 7 plays. And whenever we were calling plays, I just looked at him and he told me what to do. So it was a shock, you know, being a freshman and him coming asking me to do that. But I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah, the Wildcats won the game 29-10 to capture the Land of Lincoln Trophy. Now, did it come up again? I mean, and when you got together in 2020, you were firmly on the defensive side. You were going to be a safety no matter what. They weren't going to put you back at running back?
Yes, sir. So it came up like for probably 10 seconds. They asked me, and I was like, no, I'm good. I'm like, it was fun, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I kind of still got my fix with it, doing a little kick return here and there.
Right.
But 7 carries, and I think I was only like 170 pounds at that time. 7 carries, I felt those 7 carries. I'll just say that.
I bet you.
I was all right.
I bet you did. Yeah. Well, so you wrap up your career. You've played in 48 games for the Wildcats. What has this whole experience been like for you?
To be honest, man, it's been a roller coaster, man. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, but I'm grateful for it all. You know, going through this, these last 6 years, like, if you would have told me I was doing 6 years of college, I would have told you, yeah, right, me. If you would have told me I was doing 5, I would have said, yeah, right, not me. You know, my plan was always to do 4 years, but, you know, things happen. And I feel like this, my journey here is going to prepare me for life because, you know, the unexpected happens so often. And you, like, it's all about how you bounce back from it. So if I had to describe it, it's been a roller coaster, man. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, but I'm grateful for every second.
Well, I know some of the downs. You went through the COVID season, which obviously impacted everybody. And while you guys had a good season on the field, there weren't fans there aside from close friends and family, basically. And then you had to deal with injury, which basically knocked you out for much of, I think, all but 3 games of a season. So you've had to fight through a lot of stuff during the course of your career.
Yes, sir. That ACL injury, man, that was something else because that Nebraska game, you know, I played that game, and then I missed the next 2 because of a calf. And then we were getting back into it, so I came back Miami, Ohio, and it's the last series of the game, the second to last play, and that happened. So it just goes to show you, like, at any point, man, it could just go. And, it was – so I played 2 games that year, and then last year I played 7 or 8, I think. But, yeah, injuries, they riddled me, I'll tell you that.
Well, but through it all, you were part of the Big Ten West champion. You played in the Big Ten championship game and then in the Citrus Bowl against Auburn. And last year, again, another bowl appearance. So I assume those have been some of the good times for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing for sure, bowl games are fun. Like, you know, going out there because you kind of get off of football for a little minute because you're out there for a week and a half and then you're just enjoying time with guys that you know probably won't be the last time you see them. You know, a lot of the seniors that graduate, so you really just try to soak up that moment. But, yeah, those are definitely some of the good times.
Coco, Dan Percy, thanks again for joining us. Shifting to kind of where you guys are now, I've always felt over the past couple of years the defensive back room has been, you know, one of the strongest rooms on the team with some great players that have gone on to the NFL. What do you think separates you guys and how you guys come together to be such a good unit on the team?
One thing that we definitely do in the DB room and the safety room is, like, we say that if you're out there, you're the best person to be out there no matter what. I mean, you can see we rotate a decent amount here in the safety room as well at cornerback. And just instilling that confidence, if you're on the field, you're the best, and we expect you to make that play. It always has been that next man up mentality. I mean, looking back at the 22 season, I go down with an ACL. Jaheim Joseph, who's at West Virginia now, he breaks his arm. And then Trent Carrington, who graduated, he breaks his ankle. And we had to throw freshman Devin Turner in there, but he held up that standard. So just knowing, like, instilling that early on in camp, like, if you're on the field, you're the best guy out there, I feel like that really helps a lot.
Yeah, maybe talk about some of the young guys coming up right now. Obviously, there's a lot of talent within you and Theron and some other guys, but some exciting young guys that are in the room that you think are going to have breakout seasons, you know, going forward for the Cats.
For sure. The first one that pops to mind is Damon Walters. Like, that's a guy who is tenacious. Like, he loves the game and is an athlete. I'm I think he has a 40-inch vertical. I'm not even joking. Like, guy is a pure athlete. So I feel next year he's going to have a great year. Love the tackle. Like, plays safety the right way. You know, he's willing to open the guard guys in the open field, but not afraid to come down and hit you. Then Josh Fussell, that's another young guy. Those two guys are both sophomores in the same class. Josh Fussell, he's a corner. He's a great guy. He's going to be a great player. I mean, his ability to play the ball when it's in the air, like, it's something special. And then just going past that, these are guys, I think they're young because I'm a six-year, but they're kind of getting old now. But, like, Demet Turner and Robert Fitzgerald, like, those are another two guys that's just seeing that core, what they're bringing back next year, like, I'm excited to watch it.
You have been through this experience not only playing against Illinois, but you've played three games in your career at Wrigley Field, and the Cats still haven't been able to come out of there with a win. But this is a special game. I know the way everybody feels about the battle for the hat when you went down to Champaign and took it back last year. That was such a big moment for you. How would you characterize the mindset of this team coming off a tough day, no doubt, last Saturday in Ann Arbor, going into this game at Wrigley Field this week?
One thing that I try to tell the guys, this kind of reminds me of our 2019 season. You know, things didn't go the greatest all the time and things like that. So going into that 2019 season, we were 2-9 going into that Illinois game. Illinois was a bowl team. You know, they were a pretty good team. Had a few guys go to the NFL off that team. But it was no hiccup within the mindset of saying, like, we're keeping the hat or we're going to take the hat back. I mean, because, you know, that's what rivalry week is all about. You know, all the records, everything else goes out the window. It's time to go keep the hat. It's time to fight for it with yours. You know what I mean? So I feel like just emphasizing that, and guys are just ready to take the hat. You know, guys are ready to, you know, in-state rivalry as well. You always want to be, you know, one at the top of that. And I feel like guys want to send the seniors out the right way. So it's been a huge emphasis. You know, this is something that's not leaving Edison for a while.
You going to be emotional on Saturday?
I believe so, man. You know, I've been here for a while, a long time, man. And it's just the last go-around. Like, no matter what happens, this is my last time, like, playing at a home game in the purple and white. So yeah, definitely be some emotion there.
How will you spend Thanksgiving, Coco?
So my wife actually lives up here with me. So we're doing a little, she's a nurse, so she actually works on Thanksgiving. So we're like doing it a little early. We, having a Thanksgiving on Wednesday, and then my mom's coming out that Thursday.
Nice. Very nice. Well, have a wonderful holiday, you and yours, and good luck on Saturday. I know how important it is for everybody with the program to keep the hat. So best of luck this week at Wrigley and going forward in the future as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Coco Azuma. All right, before we wrap things up here, great to talk to Coco Azuma. He's been really battled through so much to stay on the field. Did have, as you mentioned, the ACL injury, but he's been an important contributor on this defense, and I'm sure he will be again this week. Before we wrap it up, though, let's get to a mainstay of ours on Collegiately Speaking, Super Joe's predictions.
Prediction, to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
Well, the final week of the regular season is here. Brings a tear to my eye, to be honest. We look forward to football basically the second after the Super Bowl ends, and now all of a sudden bowl season is staring us in the face. Things happen quickly, though. Look at the Hoosiers last week. After a 3-score loss in Columbus, it looked as though they might be on the outside of the playoff picture. Then number 7 Alabama, number 9 Mississippi, and number 15 Texas A&M all end up losing, and the Hoosiers are right back in it. And by the looks of things, they won't be the only school representing Indiana in the college football playoff. The entire sports world wrote off Notre Dame after NIU upset them in South Bend. Say what you will about their schedule, but the Fighting Irish have been beating up on opponents since that loss on September 10. They've scored at least 49 points 4 times this season, and 2 of those were against opponents who were ranked at the time of the game. A quick note from The Athletic, Notre Dame's opponents are 0-8 against the spread the week after playing Notre Dame. For those who might be interested, Army is playing UTSA this weekend. As for my pick, let's head to the Coliseum in the City of Angels. USC hosts Notre Dame at 2:30 on CBS. Marcus Freeman's group is a 7.5-point road favorite. The Irish are not messing around, and I don't see them slowing down against a rival with a potential playoff spot on the line. Just like last week, lay the number, sprinkle the alternates, and have one heck of a Thanksgiving. Back to you guys.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for another great year. Good luck this weekend. Dan, as we wrap it up and wrap up a season, and certainly there was a lot of hope for this team coming in. They come into this game with four wins, looking to finish 5-7 with a victory over Illinois. And certainly they want to figure out a way to win a game at Wrigley Field. This goes back to that 2010 game at Illinois. Now they've had multiple chances to win there and haven't been able to do it. And great chance for them here against Illinois. But, boy, this Illini team has been very good and I think rather surprising, bouncing back from last year. But if you remember, it was a similar situation last year. Northwestern went into Champaign already bowl eligible. Illinois needed one more win to get to a bowl. Wildcats don't have that option going into this game, but it looked like Northwestern was taking full control of that game, and Illinois kept coming back, and it ended up a two-point game, 45-43. So I would imagine we're going to see a game. Might not be that high scoring on Saturday. It's going to be cold, and Northwestern's offense hasn't been putting up points like 45 points in a game. But I think it's going to be a pretty competitive game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, last year was pretty fun to watch and a lot of back and forth. But my hope for the offense specifically is just to kind of cut it loose, right? They don't really have anything to lose at this point. And at points they've been very anemic on offense. So hopefully Jack Lausch and Coach Lujan and the rest of the guys on the offensive side of the ball just cut it loose and have some fun and leave it all out there, right? You know, there's not a lot of downside in this game not being bowl eligible at this point. And it's always great to get a huge win over your rival, especially when they're ranked in Wrigley Field. So like we talked about before, use it as a springboard for next year, cement yourselves and get some momentum going into the offseason.
Dan, have a great Thanksgiving with your newly expanded family.
Thank you. You too.
All right. And that's going to do it for another season of Collegiately Speaking. We thank you for joining us throughout the course of the season. Don't forget, we'll be with you Saturday from Wrigley Field on WGN Radio. We'll have the pregame beginning at 10:30 Central Time, kickoff at 11 with Ted Albrecht and Lauren Withrow on the sidelines. We hope you'll be with us for that. Many thanks to Coco Azuma for joining us on this edition of Collegiately Speaking. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich, for doing a great job all year long. And also thanks to Super Joe Romano for his predictions. For Dan Persa, this is Dave Ennett. Thank you for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time on Collegiately Speaking.